Today's episode of the Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Commerce Tools.
The world of commerce is fast-paced and constantly changing. Commerce Tools, the global leader in commerce and creator of the powerfully composable mock architecture, enables commerce leaders to turn possibilities into reality. Commerce Tools helps businesses go from underperforming to overachieving, and from keeping up to setting the pace, all at a lower total cost. Go to commercetools.com to learn how to get started.
It's December 18th, 2023, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Macy's gets a buyout offer. Recap from Amazon CEO Andy Jassy on CNBC. Commerce Hub makes an acquisition and rebrands as Rithm. Zulily files lawsuit against Amazon. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, Macy's buyout offer a sign of the department store times. Even in a depressed corporate real estate market, when the book value of your real estate is a premium to your firm's overall enterprise value, investors will start circling. In this case, Arkhouse Management and Brigade Capital are making a $5.8 billion offer to take Macy's private, which is about a 32% premium to the current shares. Macy's has over 500 stores in the United States, including one of the most iconic and recognizable locations there, in Herald Square, New York City. In Macy's case, these types of rumblings has happened over the last decade as well. WWD reports that $6 billion is a conservative estimate for the real estate now. In 2022, investment firm Cowen valued Macy's real estate as $7 billion. In 2014, Macy's real estate had a book value of $7.8 billion. Even the Herald Square location itself has been valued between $3 and $4 billion, according to some investors. I'm not a real estate analyst, but Macy's primary business is clearly beaten down. It reminds me of the movie Founder, when the financial analyst, played by BJ Novak, tells Ray Kroc, "You're in the wrong business. You aren't going to make money on a small profit percentage on a 25% hamburger," he said. "You're going to make money on the real estate." In this case, you can substitute 25% hamburger for discounted apparel. Perhaps retail isn't what it's cracked up to be for Macy's, and instead, it should allow someone else to operate more profitable businesses on its properties. Inevitably, such questions come to all companies with a valuable asset trapped inside of a company where the rest of the business is viewed as a liability. With investors circling Macy's on and off for the last 10 years, whenever the retail sector gets beaten down, they may finally get their prize this time based on the retail department store outlook in the next 5 years. Our second story. Recap from Amazon CEO Andy Jassy on CNBC. If I didn't know any better, Amazon was taking jabs at Shopify. In an interview with CNBC's Jim Cramer on Mad Money, he said the following. "It's quite simple to put up a website. The hard part is actually finding customers and pickpacking and shipping." Furthermore, he said that as a result of handling this hard part, Amazon, even at its size, is great for SMBs, of which it has a few million using its platform. In truth, Amazon has been a boon for many businesses, but it's kind of like a rabbit sleeping next to the wolf. Enjoy the benefits, but don't get too comfortable and sleep with maybe both eyes open. Jassy believes that Shopify perhaps has the opposite proposition, very aligned to merchants, but working on easy things. As if commerce is easy, guys. But I kind of know what he means. Setting up an e-commerce store has become now as easy as setting up a blog and just as cheap. Shopify is dependent on its payment margins, which over the long term could have downward pressure on the company's margins if the industry becomes more digitized or based on crypto. And this is the same reason that Shopify's long-term bets will continue to be misunderstood if you view Shopify from a platform lens only. Some of its newer bets don't fit into this bucket. Shop App, in particular, is one of the more interesting elements. The loyalty and points business has largely stayed the same for the last 20 years, and that's Shopify's opportunity. Amazon and PayPal are waking up to the fact that Shopify might be setting up a virtuous cycle here where they can control both supply and demand. In fact, this is the most logical outcome of Shopify's commerce components by Shopify Bet, access to more consumer behavior and influence. And the reason? Given the fact that most enterprise retailers, which is where all the consumers are generally not re-platforming unless there is a big corporate event involved, Shopify's biggest influence remains with Shop Pay and Shop Checkout. Why? Simply, it's easier to pull off. All this adds up to one thing. The Shopify of the future is still much more likely to look like what PayPal had been with great leadership than what Demandware might have been if it hadn't been acquired. The e-commerce platform itself is kind of a commodity sideshow. A global payments engine, loyalty, and points program combined with a media network is in the company's future. It's just a natural progression of the lowest hanging fruit in front of the company. Our third story. Commerce Hub makes an acquisition and rebrands as Rithm. I wasn't familiar with the company that it acquired, which is called Kadira, but the company appears to power visual AI discovery solutions for retailers. When the company raised seed funding, it seemed to focus on home decor. Think of it like AI-guided search and discovery based on your preferences. It seems overall that based on the company's size, which is just a few employees, it's more of an acqui-hire of a few key talented people based on the company's size. I would expect that this fits into Rithm's, or used to be Commerce Hub's, strategy of helping retailers surface the right assortment, not just supply the right assortment. And that includes attributing the right product data to products before they get to the website, which does seem like a logical extension of the brand and could be a good growth avenue for them. It does seem that there's somewhat of a glut in search, discovery, and personalization companies out there, but I expect that Commerce Hub or Rithm, won't compete directly with these companies. And so the offering will probably be very targeted. In other news, I can't say I'm quite a fan of the new name. I do understand that it's part of the PE playbook, but 25 years of brand equity down the drain? For what? And no one cares really what I think about company names. Ultimately, it's irrelevant. I do find renaming somewhat makes it harder to understand someone than makes it easier. And in these types of situations, usually people end up saying something like, Rithm, who's that? Oh yeah, the old Commerce Hub and Channel Advisor. And so it takes three times as long to get across just the name. Just look how long it's been since there's been an IRCE event in the United States, and that's what people still call it. And by the way, if you're a New Yorker, does anyone call the Tappan Zee Bridge the Mario Cuomo Bridge? Don't think so. Private equity is definitely active in the software market in different places. Over the past several years, one of the best examples was a company like Syndigo, who made many acquisitions and then was exited or recapitalized by Summit Partners, leading to some executive exits there. It's not lost on me at the same time that Logic Broker, a year after its K1 investment or exits, has seen several former Syndigo executives take the helm, including the chief revenue officer just hired in the last week. It appears that Rithm is on the same path, funded by Insight Partners. Acquire, combine, and then sell. Look, I don't hate the game. This is all sort of part of the deal. And especially in the past 10 or 12 years, there were way too many companies funded. So it's natural there'll be a greater period of consolidation coming. The same type of consolidation is constantly happening in the agency space. And with budget squeezed, I expect this activity to continue. And our last story. Zulily files a lawsuit against Amazon. In the last week, flash sales site Zulily has accused Amazon of helping kill it. In case you missed who Zulily was, which I can't say I would blame you, Zulily was a 2010s era flash sales site and not ever as popular as sites like Rue Gilt. Here are the major claims I pulled out of the lawsuit from Zulily to Amazon. Amazon saw Zulily as a major competitor in 2019 and started targeting them. Zulily sought to display its prices as lower than Amazon on its own website. Upon seeing this, Amazon would compete unfairly with its suppliers by asking them to stop doing business with Zulily over time using its monopoly power and obeying Amazon's price parity rules. Amazon says that Amazon directly caused these Zulily suppliers to lose the buy box on Amazon for the same item. The end result was the loss of at least half of Zulily's suppliers. First, what's Zulily again? Essentially, it's a flash deal site. And when's the last time most of us visited a flash deal site? Quite a long time ago. And comparing themselves to Amazon is somewhat humorous. Second, this is legal opportunism in the extreme, especially coming off the back of FTC lawsuits against Amazon claiming that it was a big bully in the market. The fact that most flash deal sites out there are dying off, anyone remember Living Social? And after all, there are a lot of people going to deal sites now, and it's because Zulily relied too many on too small number of suppliers. Either way you slice it, it's hard to compete with Amazon, and it's kind of good to be the king. Hey, Watsonians. Did you know that apparel and home decor marketplace Jane.com abruptly shut down? If you were in an online community, you would. To stay on top of what's going on in e-commerce and join the conversation, visit community.rmwcommerce.com today. Now a word from our sponsor, Commerce Tools. When a multi-billion-dollar beauty brand's e-commerce platform neared the end of its life, the entire business was at risk, including the ability to serve customers. By switching to Commerce Tools and embracing a more flexible mock architecture, the retailer's vision for connecting in-store and personalized shopping experiences became a reality. The brand can now roll out new features within days, securing its position as a modern brand that uses technology to its advantage. If you're being held hostage by your technology platform and your developers have thrown up their hands, tell them to start a free trial at commercetools.com today. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have five items on the menu today. First, Syrup raises $17.5 million Series A in funding. Syrup provides AI-powered planning, buying, and inventory optimization for omnichannel commerce. Minimizing excess inventory and maximizing the correct inventory on hand is an overlooked part of e-commerce. Some might even call it a sticky proposition. Second, Trackstar raises $2.6 million in seed funding. Trackstar, which developed a universal API for the supply chain, has raised $2.6 million in seed funding. The new funding will be used to partner with more warehouse management systems. This looks kind of like a supply chain version of the fintech platform Plaid. Third, Cognitos raised $20 million in Series A funding. Cognitos develops a process automation solution that uses natural language and generative artificial intelligence and has raised $20 million in Series A. It seems to me that iPaaS vendors better pay attention to this natural language trend. Fourth, eBay invests in sports trading card company COMC. eBay has entered into a commercial agreement and invested in undisclosed amounts in sports trading card platform COMC. The sports trading card sector is developing into eBay, Fanatics, and startups battling one another. And finally, Omniful emerges from stealth and raises a $5.58 million in seed funding. Supply chain and e-commerce enablement software as a service solution has raised $5.85 million in seed funding. The company claims to do so many things, it's hard to know exactly what its founders are focused on, but inventory and order management are in the mix. And today's final word of the week for December 18th, 2023 is hurry. As in, you better be in a hurry to finish your Christmas shopping. There are only so many days left. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. Our production partner for the series is Citizen Race Car. The show is produced by Jose Baez, production manager Gabriela Montequi. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/WatsonWeekly and wherever you get your podcasts.